You may be seated. Who are these clothed in white robes? Well, these are the ones who, coming out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, that's where your eyes and your hearts should focus. Because the blood of the Lamb takes away the sins of the world. The blood of the Lamb takes sinners and declares them to be saints. The blood of the Lamb washes sinners clean in holy baptism and gives sainthood. Here in the blood and the water of the Lamb, you have a new identity. That is, you are children of God, not children of men or of the world. And so in Christ, you are now what you were not before. That is holy, sainted. And you are bold to make such a claim that you are a saint, not because of what you have done, not because of the things that the world praises you for, but solely on the basis of what the Lamb of God has done for you, given to you. For what the Lord has done for you is sure and certain, as we confess in the small catechism, that the works of God, this is most certainly true. For God never does anything halfway. He does what he says, and he delivers on all that he promises. So we gather today on the Feast of All Saints, November 1st, observed today. But this is a day not for the super holy, so to speak, or righteous or pious, or those who have exalted themselves in this world by the world's praises and wealth. No, All Saints Day is for all saints, for all of us, for all the saints of God, whose sins have been forgiven and who now rest at the table of the Lamb. Both those gathered at the table, on the other side of the veil, whom John saw in the revelation, and who have already received their rest. And those of us gathered here, on this side of the veil, whose saintliness is hidden underneath sin and struggles, trial and tribulation. But this church triumphant and church militant, as we confess it to be, is not two churches, but one church. The sainted Wilhelm Leia noted, "The thought that I want to extol to you is this. Those who live in the Lord and those who have walked on the path out of the body into eternity with them, those on a pilgrimage and those already at home there, those who believe and those who are already beholding it, they are not two separate flocks of God, but rather one before the Lord and one in their own understanding. And what separates them," he says, is something that is transitory, that deteriorates more and more each day. A weary eye that does not see, a staff that breaks, a body that is frailer than any stick or twig. What unites them is greater than what separates them. And that is Jesus. He is greater than all the things that separate us. Sin, death, the devil, all of it. All one body, all one around God and the Savior. Those that in glory shine, and we here who feebly struggle. We proclaim in unison the praises of the Lamb who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous, white, holy light. Golden Jerusalem, here on earth, even as it is in heaven. For the world is passing away, and you know this. And the world that you cannot see is being ushered in, and that you believe by faith, not by sight. There is much more to life, Zoe, to life than this life, to point A and point B in this life. But it is not with the eye or the heart, but it is with the Spirit of the Word of Christ that we embrace this amazing love of the Father that St. John speaks. See what kind of love the Father has loved you with. Not the love of the world, not the love of friendship, but the love of sacrifice. Sacrifice. The Father loves sinners not because He is drawn to them by some sort of veneer of saintliness, but in spite of their sinfulness, in spite of their hypocrisy. The Father decides to set His mind on the sinner, giving him what he could never obtain himself, nor achieve on his own or in part. For by the Spirit of Christ, John saw this holy church, and he rejoiced. And one day, you will see it too, and you will rejoice as well. But for now, we are saints under attack. The devil is nipping at our heels, the world is breathing down our neck, forcing us to abandon the message of sin and repentance. Even our own flesh will rebel against us and seeks this wide and easy path in this world. Indeed, it's a time of tribulation and tears, a time of mourning and hungering and longing and thirsting. It's hard to be the children of God in the world, especially when it's far easier to be those children who give in to everything of the flesh. Hard to hold fast to God's word and to take what Satan dishes out for confessing it. Hard to believe in the faith of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church when so many are shouting to disbelieve, to abandon the ways of the saints of old and the way that leads to that abiding life beyond this temporal life. And you all know that this is not new. You know that you are not the first generation to be attacked from within and without. Your parents' generation and your parents' generation, and now our generation and our children's generation, we've all been attacked by the same thing. For even as we celebrate as saints in light, we also take courage from their example. Those who have fought the good fight of faith and have received this white robe, and who rest in the arms of Jesus. We are encouraged by them as John was encouraged. For when John received the vision that was given to him, consider the context in which he received it. He was an exile on the island of Patmos. All his fellow apostles had been martyred. They were dead. They were gone, at least from his sight. The church was under severe persecution. And maybe like the prophet Elijah, John thought to himself, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. But then, the Spirit of Christ opened his eyes to see something that was beyond all magnitude. He saw a multitude of people that he could not number. There was perhaps Peter and his brother James and Paul and all the rest of the apostles. And then there was John the Baptist and some those whom he had baptized and some whom he had buried in their martyrdom. But notice that in the center of them all was the Lamb. And John knew by the witness of the holy, eternal Word of God where they had all gone. They had gone to the place of the Lamb. And he knew that one day he would follow as well. And he knew that he was not alone, even though he was in exile. For the Lord is always with his saints. So, for John, as it is for you today, in your struggles, in your trials, in your tribulations, you are not alone. You are not alone when you dig through the boxes of memories of a shattered past life, when you weep in the cemeteries of buried loved ones, even when the walls enclose around you in your homes and seem to you to be an exile of it, as it may feel. For as we gather around the Lamb here, we join, as we say so often, or always, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, the prophets, the apostles, the saints of all times and places. This is not just pious theological liturgical talk. It is the reality. We join with the saints from our congregation who have gone before us. And we join with those saints whom each of us knows, but perhaps unknown or anonymous to those of the world, or even to those who are sitting next to us in the pew. A mother, a father who taught us the Word of God, a spouse who was our helpmate through many years of earthly life, a friend who never left us in our need, a curate and pastor, a care of one's soul, a person who was there for us at just at the right time with that word of life and peace and forgiveness. Yes, perhaps forgotten by the world, and maybe, God forbid, forgotten by us, but never forgotten by Christ. For they too now make up this vast multitude of which no one can number. For you see, on All Saints' Day, the Feast of All Saints, we consider the vast forgiveness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that reaches to every corner of the world, into cities and farms, homes whole and broken, into castles and slums. For He is the God not of the able, but of the unable, of the disabled, of people like you and me. And our Savior knows all of us, His saints. And while we look forward to the life which is to come, and the rest and the joy and the peace of heaven that we know it will bring, please note that this does not diminish the reality of your life here on earth, as if this were all unimportant and we're just waiting to die. No, actually just the opposite. It makes our life here on earth even of greater importance. For as our Lord left John on the island of Patmos, the only apostle not to be martyred, so He left you and me here, in this place, to be saints for others. Anonymous and unknown to the world, likely, yes, but not unimportant to our Savior. For through you He speaks the word of forgiveness. Through you He provides for the wants and the needs of others. Through you He shows the hope that we all collectively have together as all of God's saints. That others too may wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. We are, as Jesus says, blessed. That's not a statement of performance. It's a statement of reality. Blessed. You are blessed, as Jesus says, even as you suffer here below for a time. For you know that your suffering is not pointless, nor is it in vain, but that you are on a pilgrimage, a journey, through this world of sin, through the dark valley of the shadow of death. And you all know that there is no way around it. There's no bypassing it. Jesus didn't say to us, hey, join me and I'll show you a way around death. No, He is the only way through death. For on our own, we stand no chance against that enemy of death and sin. But in Him we are safe, eternal, and sainted. And so in Jesus, you are blessed. No matter what happens or comes to you in this life, whether it be sorrow or joy or the mundane tasks of everyday life that may cause some sort of depression, for He has come into this world by His own flesh to redeem your dying flesh. His presence for you here is no less real than it is in heaven. And so we come to His table and we receive Him even as we would receive Him in heaven. His washing, His forgiveness, His body, His blood. In this supper, you cling to Him and He clings to you. And He never lets you go. He called you by name. You are His. Not some nameless face in a crowd, but a dearly beloved child of God. Not a saint by deed, but a saint by the blood of the Lamb, who holds holy and blameless you until that day that you will join that wondrous host arrayed in white. And this is not a new reality. This is just a new place, a holy place. For what is now hidden is revealed, even by faith here. A home on the other side of this veil. No tears, no sorrow, just robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb, having come through a vast and great tribulation. So we join our hymns of praise with the hymns of heaven. Blessing and glory and wisdom and honor and thanksgiving and power might be to our God forever. Amen. We join with the hymn of the angels. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, blessed are you. We with them, they with us. One voice, one body, one church, all around the one God and one Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.